Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, March 15th, 2020. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
In the name of our victorious Savior, my dear friends and fellow believers, the portion of God's Word we're going to be looking at today connects us with the themes that we are using on Sundays. We're using this theme of Jesus Christ is our warrior, the warrior that we needed, the warrior who was promised, the warrior who came, who fought the battle, who won the war, and then gives us a victory. We broke that up into some smaller bite-sized pieces, and one of those is today, or we're going to be looking at skirmishes. So, I was not in the military. You guys already know what skirmishes are, but for those of you who don't know, skirmishes are those little itty-bitty kind of fights that happen on the edges of the army when they're all ready to go to battle, and someone will come and start a fight, and it doesn't really win the war. However, skirmishes can make people kind of disheartened. You don't want your soldiers disheartened. Skirmishes take away the resources that are needed for the war. You don't want that either. So when we look today, we're going to be looking at skirmishes and how that fits in with our theme and how that fits in with our Savior and what he did for us. The neat thing is that through the whole deal, we have the God who not only controls all things, who's sovereign over everything, but we have the God who loves us so much that he sent his son who actually did what he promised to do. And that is a great comfort for us. Again, God's word for us is a very short verse talking about we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. Earlier in the chapter, later on in the chapter, we are told that Jesus Christ is the one who has been identified as the high priest. And it says here, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us and our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted like us every way. With that little thing, that one little verse, the Lord shares with us that he really knows us. Tempted in every way, just as we are. We have a Savior who is not unable to sympathize. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows our weaknesses. That tells me that I might be kidding myself, thinking I have no weaknesses, but God says, I do, and he sees right through them. He sees right through to my very core, all the bravado, all the stuff out here, all the things thinking, oh, I'm really good, I'm really great, and God says, no, 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 I know your weaknesses. And that's a come in his word. He tells us to be alert because Satan also knows our weaknesses. You don't want to fall for Satan's lies and rebel against God so much that you kill your faith and you lock yourself out of heaven. You don't want that. God doesn't want that. So he says to us to be alert, to watch out. You know, Satan is really kind of sneaky that way. He's been doing his thing from the time of Adam and Eve until right now. And as we're looking at God's word, we're going to find out, first of all, that not only is dealing with our own sin and our wickedness difficult. Pause right there. Why is it difficult? I have to deal with something that is real. I really am a sinner. When we were led to confess our sins with Mr. Mones, we were telling God, we know that you see right through us. We know that we are sinners. What does that mean? Our enemy knows The Lord wants us to repent. We're supposed to repent of our sins. What in the world's going on here? God knows our weaknesses, which means that Satan knows that we are living in a world that constantly tempts us. Like what? A place called Barna does research, and they researched a bunch of people, and they asked them, what are the hardest temptations that you see? That's a pretty fair question. I'm not going to ask you that, don't worry. But what are the hardest temptations that you see, the most common that you see? And what came back was interesting. They said, well, there's a temptation to overindulge yourself, no self-control. So you eat too much, you drink too much, you just go wild living. You don't live for more than just one day to day in wild living. Another thing that they ran into is that people said, well, I have a sin of lust, basically pornography. And we know where that is. Just turn on your phone, turn on your computer. It's all over the place. I remember once when I was a little boy, we had a visiting missionary. He's a friend of my mom and dad's. He came from Africa. And I was in the back seat, my mom and dad were talking, and the missionary was talking with my dad. And all of a sudden he said, Marty, I did not know that America had gone so bad so quickly. This man had been in Africa for 5 years at that time. And my dad said, what do you mean? He said, don't you even see it? On a billboard is one of God's creatures, a precious woman in her underwear for everyone to see. Doesn't that bother you? And that got a whole really wonderful discussion about how Satan works. He gets us used to sin. He gets us used to dirty thoughts. So lust is one of those things that the Barna researchers found out that people were struggling with. Greed was another one. They always wanted something else, or they wanted to slam somebody else for having more money than they had. And on it goes. But then comes a really neat thing. They asked if they kept on falling into these sins, these temptations that they didn't want to fall into, and they did. So then they asked, why did you keep on falling into temptation? So they're asking a group of people, what do you think is the biggest temptations out there? Then they ask them, have you ever fallen for those temptations? And then have you ever repeatedly done them? And then they said, why? If you know there are temptations that's going to hurt you, why do you keep on doing them? There was just a handful of people in that research that said, oh, because I like it. The overwhelming majority of people said, I don't know. Kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul, right? The good that I want to do, I do not do. The evil that I do not want to do, that I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body of death? That was a question the Apostle Paul had. And that's a question that you and I constantly have as well. We're always befuddled because we fall into sin. We fall into sin. And guess what? That's when those arrows come that Satan throws at us. The arrows that come to say, you know, maybe God doesn't love you because you're really not only are you a wretched sinner, you are a stupid sinner because you keep on doing it again and again. You probably don't like God. In your deep, deep down, there's no way that God's going to let you into his heaven. That is a very sharp temptation. That's one of those arrows that comes because Satan loves to expose our sins. Satan loves to expose our sins so that we start to feel despair. So in this whole world of despair, we're falling into temptation. The Lord comes along and he says, we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows what it's like. And he doesn't know like from book learning. He doesn't know like from palling around with you. He knows because he's created us. He's formed us. He's blessed our whole life so far. He knows us intimately. In fact,
God became human. He entered into our territory, walked in our flesh and blood, had a soul and a body just like you did, and he was tempted in every way like you and I were. With one critical difference, he was without sin. Okay, so what? So what? So he was without sin, so he lives and he dies, so what? Then he comes back to life again. Still, so what? What does that help me with right now when I keep on sinning and sinning and sinning against God? How in the world does that help me right now? I don't like to feel defeated. I don't like to feel frustrated. I don't like to feel these pains of anger all the time. I don't like those feelings. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who is without sin, tempted in every way, but without sin. What does that mean? If there's a man, he and his wife live for a long time together, and his wife dies. So here's this man, and he misses his wife. And the hurt's not going away. And he gets to a point where he despairs because all he sees is emptiness and pain and all the things he woulda, coulda, shoulda. Is the best way to help this man to put him with another man who's feeling the same way because he also lost his wife and he also is in that very dark place and he feels no reason for living? No. What you do is you take this man who is in that very dark place and you connect him with a man who's lost his wife, had been in that very dark place, but then the Lord had brought him out of that dark place and reminded him of the reason for living. That way, this man not only identifies with this man, but he can help this man. The fact that Jesus so identifies with us means that he knows exactly what we're going through. He knows death. His best friend Lazarus died. He knows disease. He had to heal Peter's mother-in-law. He knows the tragedy that families experience when things out of their control affect the families, like when that little girl, 12 years old, when she died. And they were in the process of getting help from Jesus, and it was too late. Jesus knows what death does and what sin does. He knows about how people were affected by sin all around him, the temptation to resentment and the temptation to strike back and take revenge. And what happens? Jesus takes all that stuff, and he goes to a cross, and there the devil lets loose on him. By God's amazing grace, you and I will never, ever experience what Jesus did on the cross. Satan and all the legions of hell tried everything to make Jesus doubt God. They wanted Jesus to doubt his Father's love. They wanted Jesus to doubt the plan. They wanted Jesus to doubt because if he doubts, that's a sin, and then they can get everybody on the planet. And what did Jesus do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. He keeps on with the plan until finally he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He dies. One of the sentences that he said was one word long. It's three words in English. And it means it is finished. Not only was he on the plan, he completed the plan, and on the third day, the Father raised him back to life again, and Jesus says those wonderful words, battle's over, peace. That's our warrior. So what do you do when you're in the skirmishes and you feel disheartened? You remind yourself of what the warrior did for you. He knows exactly what you're going through, so don't hold back. Lay it all out there for him. read the book of Psalms and you'll find out that there are men there who just said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. Please be with me and help me and remind me of your phenomenal love. In Jesus' name, let us live that way this week, because the temptations are still going to come. Temptations are going to come to cause you to try and get you to stumble and fall. In fact, the temptations are going to come so often and so many in your whole life long that there's going to come a time when you're going to think to yourself, oh, can God ever forgive me? Because I've done it again, and I've done it again, and I've done it again. Understand that you cannot ever get rid of God's phenomenal mercy. There is no end to it. We just sang about it again. This week in our Bible history class in school, one of the songs that they memorized was what we just sang. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind. You never run out. When you fall into sin, God says, I'm here for you, and he picks us up, and he says, I forgive you. Again and again and again. So how do we live? We don't sit there and put ourselves out there and try to make people sin, or we don't set ourselves up for sinning. We don't walk in front of a moving train saying, well, God, protect me. No, we use every moment that we have, every time, every possible thought to give God glory and honor because of what he has done for us. He lived, he died, he came back to life again. That comes off so easy, but that is the warrior that serves us and saved us. In his name, let us live that way this week. Amen.